So that's one big change. The next big change is the one that's probably made more headlines in the news, and that's that to-go sales are now here to stay. They were made allowable as a temporary rule during the height of the COVID pandemic, and that rule was seemingly being changed on a daily basis there for a while, then sort of settled into allowing, essentially this is the margaritas to go. So you can now go buy, a gallon of frozen margaritas as long as it's served with food. And we knew that this was going to stay in place for a while. We all thought as long as the governor had the COVID disaster declaration in effect, it would be in place. Then the legislature just said, you know what, we're going to go ahead and make this permanent. And I think a lot of this is because there's been a lot of sympathy for the on-premise retailers who have just been decimated by COVID. There have been a lot of restaurants that have shut down, and we're trying to do everything possible to allow this to happen. So I think this really, I'm not sure this would have happened without COVID. So there are some rules. It has to be served with food. The interesting thing is there is no definition of food. So some places are doing with a bag of chips. I still think that's probably maybe an aggressive interpretation, but it's probably okay. You can prepare drinks on site. There for a while, everything had to be in the original manufacturer's container. That is no longer the rule. They can be prepared on site. They have to be sealed. If they're picking them up in a car, they can't be placed in the passenger area of the car. So that means they either have to be put in the trunk, or if it's an SUV, back in the back cargo area of the SUV. Big change there. So the next two, I call this one, the first one, I get to buy beer for my NFL tailgate party. This is for the Texans. I almost said Oilers. The Texans and the Cowboys fan. The rule used to be you couldn't buy before noon. Now you can buy at 10 a.m. So you can if you forgot your beer on Saturday, you can still buy your beer before your NFL tailgate party on Sunday mornings. The other thing that happened, and this one kind of came as a surprise to everybody, is 24 hours a day, every day, has been approved for sale to registered guests of hotels. So it'll be interesting to see where that one is taken. So hotels do not have to stop serving to their registered guests at 2 a.m. So big change there. Mostly the to-go is the biggest change that we have not seen. And again, I don't think we would have seen without COVID. All right, so I think it's probably beneficial to talk a little bit about the permitting process. So this is for either your clients who may be tenants, or your clients who are landlords who have tenants that need to get permits. So to understand, what goes into, this magic process of getting a TABC permit. So I'm just going to lay out the steps. So typically I tell clients to budget about 90 to 120 days from inception to issuance. So the first thing we do is we go and check the site characteristics. We're checking wet dry status. We're checking local zoning to make sure there's no, we're not in a zoning classification that prohibits the sale of alcohol. The city I find that the most in is Dallas. Dallas will have these things called dry overlays that the city will amend the zoning or do a variance to it or a specific use permit, but it's a full zoning change process to go through it. Then we check proximity to schools, churches, and hospitals. I get schools, I get churches. I honestly don't get hospitals, but it's in there. So the interesting thing about these are the measurement of whether you have a disqualifying proximate other use is not determined by TABC. TABC doesn't want any part of this process. That's solely left up to the local jurisdiction. So if you're in a city, it's up to the city that you're in. If you're in a county and not in the city limits, then it's up to the county that you're in. The general rule is it's 300 feet, but the 300 feet is measured differently. For schools, it's measured property line to property line. For hospitals and churches, it's measured front door to front door. And you don't walk in the shortest distance possible. You think of it like you're walking in a legal manner from front door to front door. So the buzzword is it's along street fronts and crossing only at intersections. So you basically imagine if you're walking along, from out the front door along the street, crossing only at an intersection, so you can't jaywalk to get to the front door of either the church or the hospital. One thing I think that is folks representing landlords ought to consider, when you have a large multi-tenant site, and there is a school nearby, you can effectively make your entire premises, right across the street, your entire premises is effectively unavailable for TABC permits because of the 300-foot restriction to the school, unless you get variances. But if you carve up your site into multiple lots, the TABC or the local city will go based on the lot line. So I've done this in multiple cases where we have actually changed the platting of a development to accommodate what we knew was going to be an establishment that was going to have a TABC permit, so that the closest boundary of that property to the school that we were worried about was over 300 feet. And it's interesting, when we got this, was one in Dallas, when we got questioned on it, they said, well, how can you tell it's over 300 feet? So, well, we hired a surveyor to make sure it was over 300 feet. And, oh, by the way, the same surveyor is the one that we just hired to deliver you the survey that we need to do in the city of Dallas to get it approved. So that's definitely something to consider.